That's what our hands together and say, this was our Father. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We receive
revelation found in the written word.
As you study, our eyes view Jesus, even as he sees us in himself. He is glorified. We are edified every day. Amen. Glory to God. Okay, understanding the gospel series 5. Part 2, Section 5. Okay. Think we're running too fast on understanding the gospel series.
So God will compel us, pedal down the beat. Amen. Amen.
I remember series 2B on understanding the gospel. So we can also tag the 5B part. So 5B. I took my time to discuss with us, to teach us on heaven and earth, something that I'll take up in a couple of other sections, not on understanding the gospel, but another set of series on its own. Amen. Just heaven and earth, understanding the law of Moses. Glory to God. But we'll look at all those things again. So some things we'll have to pick back and expound some of those narratives we have. Hallelujah. So of understanding the gospel, Matthew 1:1. Now it says,
a good student is a good reader, right? A good student is a good reader.
A good student is a good reader.
And a good reader is seeing how he or she handles
the material. How do you handle the material in front of you? Now the material we have is called the scriptures. How do you handle the scriptures? Hallelujah. How do you handle the scriptures? It's very vital in your understanding of scriptures. Now, take note. People can
feel your understanding. Let me put it this way.
Your understanding of scriptures will be dependent on how you perceive and read. It's dependent on how you perceive and read. And I'm going to be very detailed as regards that. I've seen people who perceive that, who think of the Bible as a weapon to kill. I've seen people like that. So when they read their Bibles, they only read it for killing. They have a wrong motive about what the Bible is about. So all they know their Bible for will be to use it as a sword, Psalms, to kill their enemies. Hallelujah. There are people like that. Hallelujah. And there are also people who have, that is a perception now, and it will form how you read. Hallelujah. You won't pay attention to details. You're only reading in a biased format. You see that? You're reading in a biased format. All you want to read is, no weapon formed against you will prosper. You're only attacking from, let me use that, attacking from the book of Psalms. And they think Psalms is for warfare. No. I put it like this. Psalms, the book of Psalms, I heard this from Bathsheba, and that's true. I can't say it's a lie. Because I don't have that liberty. And I can't ever say it. Glory to God. But I heard it from him. And he said the book of Psalms are the laws of Moses in his psalm. Amen. So whatever psalm is writing, whatever David and the writers of Psalm, the other writers of Psalm are writing, is actually the words of Moses put in his psalm. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. The same way the book of Proverbs will be the words of Moses, right? In a proverbial form. Glory to God. It doesn't necessarily mean that those things said in the book of Proverbs must happen, but they put Moses in a proverb form. Just like saying, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it, you know? People use that in Sunday schools to say, train up a child. There are children that were well brought up. You can't hold their parents accountable for how they turned out. Amen. It mustn't always happen, but it's a proverb of something that he's reading from Moses.
Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me.
So how do you read your Bible is very vital. So we said, we look at three kinds of reading. We said there's the glance reading, right? Where you just flip through. There's the bias reading, where you are reading from a point of bias. You are biased in your approach to scriptures. Hallelujah. You are biased about God. Biased about everything in scriptures. You just want to get your own mind played out in scripture. Some people are like that. So they think Bible is all backing up.
And how about someone trying to defend fornication
from Bible?
And that's rubbish. There we go. He said, the person made this stupid statement and said,
the man born again is the man in the spirit.
I believe that theory is very stupid. Very stupid.
He said, is man in the spirit. The spirit doesn't commit fornication, it's the body that commits fornication. That is the body that has sinned, not the spirit, not man. That's nonsense. Amen. And then you now read John and say, he that's born of God does not sin. Come, let us give you knock. Let's rearrange your brain. How can you say that? Amen. Amen. Why is it called fornication? Because fornication is a sin. Amen. Why is it called adultery? Because it's a sin. What are you following me? It's a sin when it's done. So, you know, going to scripture, some kind of bias. And he or she is reading scriptures and he's quoting it from the Bible. Amen. Amen. I heard something one time. Someone used scriptures to perpetrate evil. Somebody is stealing and said, I can do all things. Somebody said scripture. You see that? Amen. That is why a believer cannot afford to handle scriptures softly. Because you are already guided with the fact that wrong interpretation of scripture is wrong worship of God. Okay, so Jesus was quick to spot out the Pharisees. He was quick to spot out the Pharisees and say, he caught them in their own self-righteousness. Did you see that? They were using scriptures to their own advantage or to their own benefit. Or put it this way, they were using scriptures in a biased form. And Jesus will call them hypocrites. Is that hypocrites? Hope you're following me. Jesus will refer to them as hypocrites. Why? Because of how they approach scriptures. So how you approach scriptures is vital. Because you know that how you read the scriptures is worship to God. You must always have it in your heart. Amen. Okay, hear me. You must always have it in your heart that as you open your scriptures to read, it is worship. And therefore, you can afford to read it anyhow. Hope you're following me. You can't afford to approach it anyhow. You can't, you shouldn't do that. Why? Because you're born again. Hallelujah. And you're taught right. You're taught to appraise scriptures wholesomely. Wholesomely. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Don't start giving yourself time you want to study and you're giving yourself 10 minutes. That's not study. That's not worship of God. Hallelujah. What are you following me? What are you following me? You can pray 4 hours. Study 4 hours. Don't start looking at the time. It's 30 minutes. Let me quickly close it and come back. No. Flow through it. Hallelujah. Flow through the study. Flow through the study. Hallelujah. Go through it. Hours. Spend hours studying. Because it's worship of God. Hallelujah. It's worship of God. Today we have the luxury of using our phones to do concordance. So some of us even have luxury. Nowadays, people don't even know verses and chapters anymore. They just go to Google. Just remember one line. Just put it on Google. Bring you back. Hey, hey. It's here. Only Google. Amen. Amen. You're not to short. No. That time when you search the scriptures, you're looking for it. Move these things around this place and you're looking for it. And look where you are reading all the things and reading and understanding the scriptures. Hallelujah. It's worship. Sometimes you're looking for the import of the world and it's taking you hours and time and you're searching the truth. It's worship. Hallelujah. So you must approach scripture wholesome. Okay, hear me. Wholesome. It's very vital. And I said something. I said to us, another approach that people have that is wrong is approaching scripture from two standpoints, Old and New Testament. It's wrong. Amen. Old and New Testament. Just even having your scriptures like that, I'm thinking of giving them to go and take this, you know, when they are doing some binding, take this old and new stuff out of my Bible. Amen.
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 That mindset, this is Old Testament, this is New Testament. It's wrong.
Hallelujah.
Okay, say with me.
It's wrong. You don't do that. You shouldn't approach it that way. Because those who wrote what you call the New Testament Bible, part of your Bible, what they had as scripture is Genesis to Malachi. So they weren't reading Genesis to Malachi as Old Testament. No, don't do that. Hallelujah. Don't do that. You read everything together. Because when they wrote, they were writing for you to go back and reread where they were writing from. So they wrote in such a way, like I said, that you shouldn't be detached from where you were writing from. So that means you can't read the Old, or you can't read the New Testament without going through the Old Testament books. We are going to read 39 books. You must read everything together. Hope you are following me. You must approach everything together. Read everything together. With everything together. The 39 plus the New Testament books. So Matthew opens up his synoptic and said the book of the generations of Jesus Christ. He says the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, why would he open up this way? He opened up for you to see where he's writing from. The book of the Genesis. He's about to write the genealogy of Jesus and read it from where? Genesis. So that you wouldn't miss it out. So he goes to Genesis 5. So that you will read together. Can you see it? So as he calls the Genesis of Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham. I said when you find the word son of David, son of Abraham, that tells you the book of Genesis is a book of sonship. Did I say that to us? And we talk about sonship, we say it points to who? The Zerah, the seed, whom is what? The offspring of God that will come through the lineage of man. Did we say that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they were writing about the incarnation of Jesus as God and man, or that Jesus is God in man, God as a man, and they write it from the Genesis for you to see him like that. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Glory to God. So they write for you to see that way. In Mark, Mark chapter 1. Mark 1. It says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It says the beginning of the gospel. We use that word beginning there. The word beginning is from that Hebrew word where you have Genesis, Alkeomai in the Greek. Beginning. The beginning. Hallelujah. Where you have the word Rashid in the Hebrew. The beginning. It points to Genesis. Can you get that? It points to where? It points to Genesis. So it calls the Genesis the gospel of Jesus, the Son of God. Sonship again. Son of God. Hallelujah. And again, he also gives you. He also tells you how to approach reading. How do you tell you to approach writing? He says, he goes into Isaiah and goes into Malachi and goes into Isaiah. Did you see that? So, this is how you read. Glory to God. You read everything together. Hope you're following that. Read everything together. So, that's very vital. How you read your scriptures is vital.
very, very wise.
Glory to God. So therefore we said, I'll skip Luke and John for now because of time. So we said, words will have their origin from the 39 books.
Right? So words will have their origin. I don't think this is true.
I'll
write it down.
Amen. So, words will have their origin from the 39 books. So we looked at a few words. We looked at the word seed, right? Where you have the word sun, seed. And we saw the root word will be in the Old Testament books, right? Right? That Jesus will use the word seed for the kingdom of God. Right? For the kingdom of God. We looked at all from the first one. Hallelujah. We also looked at the word Dabar, Logos. We have this origin within the 39 books. Amen. We look at the word name. Name. We say you must go back to find out what is the cultural context of words. Now that's very vital as a Bible student. You mustn't take words in your word today. Very vital. Mustn't take words in your word today. No, you mustn't. Words are first read in the word of the writer. So where Jesus says, in my name, for example, we're gonna get there, in my name. So I have to read that word name in his word. If it says seed, what is seed in his word? What is the cultural context of that word? So that means I mustn't just jump and say seed is referring to no. For example, when he says he gave one 5 talents, and I say he's talking about what is your talent that God has given you? Is it 10-10? Is it football? Or is it my talent? God has given me 5 talents. Somebody preached that. And you wanted to talk about discovering your purpose and you were teaching talents. Is it Jesus, God gave some people 5 talents, some 3, some 1. What are you doing with your talent? He now equated that talent to Moses. When God said, what do you have in your hand? That is your talent. How? Have you seen what a cool concussion before? Some people, the way we read our Bible is like concussion. I'm serious. You are committing adultery. Do you know people who can commit adultery in scripture? Yes, now. Well, you said, let me marry the scriptures together. You are marrying A and B that have no conjunction, no correlation. How can you say, what is your talent? God gave, first of all, you said God gave some people talent. And you related it to football skills. Not even mention Messi and mention Saka. You don't understand. You don't ask not to read. How? Amen. This is not fun, is it? But what is going to do? Stop here. I'm going to Europe, I'm going to Europe. So, stop here. Nonsense. Amen. Amen. You know,
most times, pride goes before you fall. A Mickey Mouse. Can they make money?
No. Let's continue. All of them are going to sleep. Almost empty. Continue. So where were we? So you missed the scripture.
First of all, you missed the scripture. And I say, okay, talent. What's the talent? What's your talent? As though that is not enough, you now marry that word to what God said to Moses. What do you have in your hand? You now think that is talent. So what is that thing you have in your hand? That is your talent, oh God. Put it down! God told Moses, put it down! What is that talent? He said, I can sew. Put it down! How can you put it down? So I'm better for Pastor Wilson. I put it down. That's nonsense. So that's not God will judge.
It's not true.
First of all, when you find out what talent is in scripture, I told you what is the cultural context of that word. Now you follow up and look at that word in their world. Now that word talent is on the word talenton, used for a currency in their world, a unit of exchange. Do you see that? So that means he wasn't talking about talent as of skills there was talking about a master, not of God. Talking about a pastor gave his servant talent. Money, ego, owo, kudi, simple. Amen. So don't bring whether you can, I'm a baba, that's my talent from God. How?
I'll be the talent from God. Amen. God doesn't give talent.
What God gives is God gives, and it is the Holy Ghost. Okay, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. They say that a player is born a footballer. How? Is there football in Genesis?
Amen. Who's all talking nonsense? Somebody still brought it to me recently. I said, what kind of nonsense are you saying now? If you're not educated, I would have said yes, you're not. How do you open your mouth to talk this kind of nonsense? Okay. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Say the God of football has blessed this one. Those rubbish talk. Rubbish. Amen. So you have to put words is
their cultural context. Did you see that? Amen. Cultural context. So, in the word of the writer, what is he saying? Okay, follow me. What is he saying?
What is he saying? Then,
do not ask again. Where is he reading from? Did you see that? Where is he reading from? If it is the New Testament writer, they are reading from the prophets of old. Did you see that? From the scriptures of old. So that means you have to go back again to read where is he writing from. And I told you, for example, the epistles were not written when the apostles were around. Did you see that? They were written when the apostles were not there to address issues. And they were addressing those issues from where? The scriptures. Hope you are following me. Hope you are following me. So therefore, even when I go to the Old Testament books and I see words used, I have to ask myself, what is the word in their world? Do you see that? What is the word in their world? New Testament, what is the word in their world? Where are they reading from? So when you find out where they are reading from, you will now go back to see the origin of the word. That is where the re-connotation of the word is from. Now, within the Old Testament books too, when you find a prophet speaking, you are asking, where is he writing from? Many times, they are, in fact, all the time, they were writing from the prophets before them. Do you see that? Before them. So, you have to go back. Who is he reading from? Daniel is writing from Jeremiah. So, I go to Jeremiah to see where he's writing from. Do you see that? Jeremiah is reading from Isaiah or from Moses. So, I go back again to see where is he writing from. The moment I see it, I find the origin of the word. Isaiah is writing from Moses. Did you see? So that means Daniel writing from Jeremiah, Jeremiah writing from Isaiah, Isaiah writing from Moses. It therefore means I have to read the origin of that word backwards, down to Moses. Did you see study? That's how God wants it to be. Amen. So that astuteness in studying, that time you use to study, God made it that way. That's why God didn't bypass any of their brains. Okay, hear me. Moses is Hebrew. Yes, he's writing in Hebrew so that you in English would understand it. So that point of translation, interpreting, it's God's work. Did you see that? Or it's God's ideal plan for you to interpret. And that interpreting, translating that you are doing is called worship. Okay, follow me. It's called worship. Okay, so we began looking at the word gospel last week. We looked at it before now, but we looked at the word gospel. So we'll ask ourselves the question, where is it coming from? Where is that word gospel coming from? It's got good news. That's euangelion. Good news, gospel. Good news. Jesus in Matthew 24 was this gospel, said the gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, come in.
second.
Okay. Matthew 25 verse 14 and Matthew 24 verse 14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. Mark 16. Are you there, Mark 16? Are we verse 15? It says, I said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So,
our word gospel is of the Greek word euangelion, where it means good news. Now, I said, if you really that good news, that's what it is. It's a good news. But you might also miss the import of that word gospel when you really that good news alone. Right? Now, so what is the import?
The import is where Jesus reading gospel from. He's reading it from the Old Testament books. When you have the word Bapha. You see that? When you have the word Bapha. Now we said last week, we said Bapha is used for a kingdom. It's a kingdom message. It's used for a victory or a defeat in war. Do you see that? So Bapha deals with a news of a victory at war or a loss in war. So I gave you the scenario. Two nations are fighting, and when they fight, this nation goes back and says, we've won by the messenger. Then the other messenger goes back and says, we have lost in the battle. Those two informations are called bata news. Do you get it? News. But listen now, news of a battle or news of a war. Now I told you Bata deals with also, why do they fight wars? You answered that question, right? Why do they fight wars? And why is it that Jesus or scripture or God will pick, will pick that narrative of warfare that was obtainable in their war to talk about the gospel? Now listen, because there's something we'll look at on Saturday. Why land? Why people? So we're going to look at it. Now, the reason for that is because that is what is closest to what God's task in the earth is. Heaven and earth. Territories. Do you see that? So, that news of warfare. Because in their world, you fight wars to gain territories. Watch it. You fight wars to get territory, economic benefits. Hallelujah. Amen. So, for a people. Now I gave you a narrative also that, I gave us a narrative that we also fight wars to deliver people. Not just to deliver his people, right? Right? That are held captive. So wars sometimes are fought to both win a land and deliver people. And we saw example where Egypt. Egypt was not a physical war. Have I told you that? It was not a physical war. It was a clash of gods, right? Did I say that to us? What was the outcome? Deliverance. Did you see that? Amen. Now, David at one point came back from a war at the slaughter of those in Ziklag. He came back from the war at Ziklag, and when he got back, he discovered that his people were taken away. You see that? His people were taken away. So, let me forget about the details of that story, and let me just tell you what happened. David prayed, and asked the Lord whether to go, and Lord asked him to go, and then he went. He overcame them and brought the people back. You see that? That is what I'm talking about. That is war. So he went ahead to fight to regain his people. You see that? And brought them back home. Hope you're following me. So it deals with the warfare. So warfare, sometimes is used to gain territories, to deliver a people.
Right?
They were divided people. But no matter what, when you talk about Basar, I would say it deals with a kingdom war, a warfare, a king, his people in the territory.
I'll say that again.
Basar deals with
a king. Or first of all, it deals with, okay, let me put that, it deals with a king in a warfare.
Or a king conquering in a warfare.
Right? A king conquering in a warfare.
A land and a people in the land. A king or a warfare, a king,
the people and the land.
A territory. Territory and the people in the territory. Amen. Amen. Okay, following me. Glory to God. So we said deal with the king. We began dealing with, we were looking at that point of a king last week, and we call
that the king is a soldier. Did you say that? It's called the soldier. Let's see a few things.
When I say king, the word king didn't just come out of the blue. In Genesis chapter 17, Moses wrote about what God said to Abraham that would happen to him, or that would be found in his seed. Genesis 17 verse 16. And it spoke concerning Sarah and said it. Genesis 17 verse 16. Amen. He says, and I'll bless her, which is Sarah. He said, and it shall no longer be called Sarai, but Sarah. He said, I'll bless her and give her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I'll bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of the people shall be of her. This is that kings.
Kings. So when Jacob now calls Judah a lion's whelp, one that comes to say, lawgiver cannot depart from Judah. In Genesis chapter 49,
when he says that to Judah, he is not saying anything different from what God has said in Genesis chapter 17.
This is that lawgiver cannot depart from. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So there's the king. There's the king. Now take note. God is going to accommodate their call.
God is going to accommodate their culture. Something now
we'll look at as we get into some details about Moses. Now, God will accommodate their culture, not endorsing it. So God didn't endorse warfare, but God accommodated that within their world.
Do you see that? Come on, follow
me. God accommodated that within their world.
Someone was trying to prove something to me. And then he said, can you tell me that the war in Ukraine, God is not the one that caused it to happen? I asked him why. He said, you can't say God is not the one that... I said, God can't do that. He said, are you telling them that God is not behind Gaza war? I said, how can God be behind Gaza war?
Amen.
How can God be there?
They were like, no, God must be there. Can you tell me that man will just... I said, yeah. But he now went back to scripture. Now, some people think God committed genocide in scripture. But you know, and some people who try to move for genocide will always want to bring God into the picture. But you know what? As a Bible student, you learn to just read scripture the way it is. When you read it well, you discover that it wasn't actually God, right? The same way people think God is responsible for death, but it's not always so. Amen. It's not true. I remember something I didn't say to us during Revelation of God. I said I was supposed to talk about it. I remember. I said I will look for a way to bring it in this teaching. I've not been able to move it.
Maybe we'll just keep it there. You know, I have tried, but it did not enter.
You have tried very well, but I couldn't get it. But we'll look at it. It's quite long, a bit lengthy. When you ask the question, who killed Uzzah? When he touched the ark, who killed him? I wanted to answer that question, but there was no time. But we'll find time to answer it. Even we'll find time to answer it. So, but
well. I've tried to put it in this city. I've looked for ways to re-enter.
I don't stress myself. We'll do it some other time. You will go. But many times people try to just bring God and rope God into genocide. I think it's the right time to put it in control.
Yeah. Just rope God in and make God in the court of genocide. But it's actually God in their world.
They have that, you know, it was in their world. You show strength.
Strength of a nation by fight.
Amen. So, sorry you.
Somebody carried knife. I want to shoot you. You say, oh, bless Jesus. Bless Jesus. Just shoot it small, small. Yeah? You will need a bit of shaker.
Thank you, fast fast. Yeah. Maybe Pastor Wisdom will collect you and say, oh,
what's the, let me choke you. I say, oh, I can give you the Hebrew word for sword.
And then three, he said, this entry in the Hebrew word plus the Greek word. Oh God.
You will hold the knife. You say, my health is in there for God. Yeah. Or you go to a land, there's a bomb blast, boom! You start and say, this is the Lord, I'm putting it on.
Yeah, that can do all things. You see bomb, you see grenade, that can do all things.
God bless you.
You will fante. What is fante? Fante is a Greek word.
So just...
Glory to God. But that's just it.
So God will lead them through the world, right?
For a reason. But wasn't God killing?
But God was adopting that their culture. Because if they say they'll kill all of them, you don't know. Yeah? We are not killing. Egyptians were coming after you with sword and dagger to perish you guys. And he died inside the
rest. I don't know. Moses should have just said, no, don't pass, don't pass. Let's see, open, 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 let them come. Ah, quickly.
Close. Yeah? You, what will you do? Sharp, are
you? Think about it. You open it. But I don't want people to now say, what? Oh, say it again. Amen. So that is just the guy says, I don't know, don't say that. It's wrong. That was first of all, you can't rope God into those things in scriptures. Don't rope him. Just read it well. Understand what was their culture like. Right?
What was their culture?
And God just had to adopt it. Amen. God had to adopt it. He didn't endorse killing, but he adopted it. Amen. Amen. Uh-huh. If God didn't defend his people, you have no people. Don't you think so? You have no people now. So he will defend them. Glory to God. And he will adopt. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
So, it is with the warfare, like I said. Right? The king, the victory. Now, a warfare, like I said. Now, that king,
in that deliverance, he's called the Savior.
Right? He's called Savior. So the King is the Savior. The Savior in salvation. And Savior in the Hebrew is the word Yahyashah.
Right? Yashah.
Or you put Yahweh Yashah. Yahweh Yashah. Savior. I will look at some scriptures. Last week, Savior Yahweh Yashah. So we said from Deuteronomy quickly, Deuteronomy 33:29. We said that is his office. So Savior is his office. He's a saving father. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. He's a saving Father. Deuteronomy 33, verse 29. Let's read together. Are you there? Right there. Okay, 33. Let's read. 1, 2, go. 29. 1, 2, go. Saved by who? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All people saved by the Lord. Hallelujah. The shield of thy help? And who is the sword of thy excellency? And thy enemy shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt be upon the high place. So he's the shield of thy help. The it says saved by the Lord. So
Savior is his office. Hallelujah. You said that last week. It is his office.
I would say that is from the Greek word sota. Sota. Sota is the performer in salvation.
Is the performer in salvation. In salvation. Now, salvation
to be saved. Something we're going to see. Another word in salvation where it says that act of saving is called sozo. We're going to look at that soon on Saturday. Sozo.
That act of saving is called sozo.
Amen. To save. Is another word used there, to heal.
This is that? Amen. Saving, sozo, to heal, to save, to deliver. That act of saving is called sozo.
We'll look at that, we'll investigate that. Sozo. Amen. So, in salvation we have the sota, we have the act of saving, which is called sozo. Hallelujah. So the sota is the performer. Is the performer. Now, he is the performer of that salvation.
He's the performer in salvation.
Now, in that,
remember I told you, he has a territory, he has a people. So, in his territory, he has authority because he is the soldier. He has authority.
He has authority.
He has authority. In the territory.
Amen. 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 Now that authority spreads.
We're going to deal with that too. Amen. Now a king can have authority beyond his territory.
A king can have authority beyond his territory. We'll see that shortly. Amen. Beyond his territory. So that authority many times is bestowed on their name. So that is why names are called and used to signify authority.
What's authority?
That authority many times is bestowed on their name. Amen.
So, for example, when you come for example, when, let's say,
example now.
As strong as our Asorok is, not very strong. It's strong to the boundaries of Nigeria.
But the moment someone comes in with a letter and says, this letter I'll stop to deliver.
Now, you can't just walk here and say you want to see the president of Nigeria. You must go through scrutiny if you don't have a appointment that maybe you have fixed before he became the president.
It's hard you get there. But someone just comes with a letter from Joe Biden, United States White House.
And he gets there, he says, oh, have a letter from White House. And he says, White House, Joe Biden. Biden? Quickly, they don't even just call. Sorry sir, somebody is there to see you from Joe Biden. Say, let me. What protocols do you leave on of that?
Yeah.
What gave you that interest?
They are coming with an authority. Or maybe as you are coming, those guys at the gate, I just say, you are not going to enter. And you just pick the call and say, sir, I'm in Astro Rock and I'm being embarrassed. Next thing you'll be embarrassed.
In 2 minutes.
Eh? You have a way again. Why? Oh, so I thought it was toilet. Oh, why half? Yeah? Oh, sorry. Why half?
Yeah, it's going to everybody just doing it like. Why? Why? Just one knee. This is that. Amen. Amen. One knee. Chill.
Go with the Lord. Amen. So authority.
You have it in names. So names in their world are used to or is used many times for authority. Let's see this. So when you hear the word, the name Jesus,
right, we are going to function. What is the authority of the name? Hallelujah.
Because the name Jesus has authority. What is the function? What is the authority?
Name is used for function. Name is used for authority. Amen. So you could put that in
Exodus 6
when it says, they will ask, what name should I tell them?
It means, or, sorry, Genesis, Exodus 6,
verse 13. It says,
I go to them and they will ask me, what is his name? What shall I tell them? What is his function, right? What is his authority? Amen. It says, tell them, I am. So that authority is that of a deliverer.
This is that, I am. What is his authority?
So names are used for authority.
Names are his authority. So the name of Jesus has authority.
Amen.
Has authority. So what is the authority about? We're going to see that. For authority.
Amen. Philippians 2:7. Philippians 2:7. Philippians 2:7. But say, okay, I thought verse 5. It says, let this man be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, well, I told you what this means, right? 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 But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. That is, he became a man, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Wherefore, God has highly exalted him. Hallelujah. And has given him a name which is above every name. Do you see that? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God has given him a name that is above every other name. Every name. Watch it there. So, that speaks of authority. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Authority in the name. He says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Hallelujah. Every knee should bow. Of things in heaven and things on earth. And things under the earth. He mentions three words. It says, of things and beings in heaven. And things and beings in the earth, and things and beings under the earth.
True world. Hallelujah. Under the earth. That's supernatural. What it means.
Hallelujah. Amen. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we find that authority in his name. Hallelujah. We have the authority in his name.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. But we can see that. So,
his name has authority. And everything responds to that authority.
Did you see that? Did he say something?
No. There are things and beings in heaven.
things that means in the earth, things that means over the earth.
So it therefore means the name of Jesus,
come on, the name of Jesus has the I'll put it like this. The name of Jesus
I'll tell you that later. Many times people can take your word beyond overboard. So I've always kept.
The name of Jesus is the highest authority in the world. It's the highest authority in the whole universe. It's the highest authority in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth. I'm saying again, the name of Jesus is the highest authority in the whole world, in the whole universe, supernatural and natural.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's what he's saying. Things and beings in heaven, things and beings on earth, things that belong on the earth.
Both in the light supernatural and dark supernatural, the name is has authority everywhere. The name is Lord. The name is the most powerful. That's the most powerful name you have in the whole world.
That's what Paul is saying. Hallelujah. Everything bows to the name.
There's nothing that exists within the three worlds that doesn't bow to the name. And these are the three worlds that is in the world.
Are you following me?
Are you following me?
Everything bows to that name. Glory to God. Hope you're following me now. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. So what's the authority in the name? We're getting there. We're getting there. We're getting close.
The authority in the name is not for... I told you, the power in the name, the authority in the name is not in the pronunciation. It is Jesus, Yeshua, Yasha, Yishin, Yishu, Yishu.
No. The authority in the name is in the function.
I told you that. Right? Is in the function.
Is in the function. We're going to see what it's about shortly tonight. Amen. In Revelation 1:8, look at what Jesus said himself. Revelation 1:8. Well, some scholars have argued that he wasn't referring to Isaiah 22. Some say Isaiah 22 was in Revelation 3:7. We're going to see that. But look at what he said. Revelation 1:8, he says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, I am Alpha and Omega. Hallelujah. The beginning and the ending. Ending there means he has fulfilled it.
Amen. Amen.
The beginning and the ending. See the Lord. Which is, which was, and which is to come. The Almighty. Hallelujah. He said, I'm the Alpha and Omega, beginning and ending. Look at verse 18. I showed you to show this. He says, and I am he that liveth. Watch it. I liveth and was dead. I liveth. He didn't say, I am he that was alive.
No.
I liveth, but was dead. Did you see how the death came in the past? Was dead. I liveth. Was dead and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Now look at what it says. He said, I have the keys.
Did you see that? I have the keys.
Keys is used for authority.
He said, I have the keys.
Glory to God. He said, I have the keys of hell and of death.
I have the keys of hell and of death. Glory to God.
He said, I have the keys. That's what Jesus said. He said, I have the keys. Glory to God.
But that means even in the dark supernatural, his authority to his death.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I have the keys. That's what Jesus said.
Don't be too far. I'm talking about Jesus now.
Amen. Glory to God. Jesus has got the keys. Hallelujah. He's got the keys.
So his authority is not just, you know, Jesus is just in a believer's life, just a believer. Yes, it's a believer. It's just around Christian things.
Amen. Everything responds. Sickness responds. Hallelujah.
Disease responds.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Woo!
Glory.
Look at Revelation 3 now. Verse 7. Revelation 3, 7. He repeats it again. But this time, he reads Isaiah 22. He says, he said unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia,
right?
Said, these things seeth he that is holy. He's talking about himself. He that is holy. He that is true. He that has the keys of David. Did you see that? Hallelujah. He has what?
The keys of David.
He said, he openeth. Hallelujah. And no man shut it. And he shut it and no man opened it. That is authority. Amen. 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 We're going to investigate all this. He said, he opened it
and no man shut. And he shut and no man opened it. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory.
Woo! He has the authority. He has the authority. Hallelujah. You know, I was going through this before coming to church and I just kept saying, thank you, Jesus.
You've got the authority. You've got the authority. You've got the authority.
You know, many times people read Bible, pray for themselves.
No. It's about him. Hallelujah. It's about him. You've got the authority. Oh, thank you, Lord. You've got the authority.
He got the authority. It's not the first time reading. But you know what? He has the authority. I was reading the Bible course. He said, oh, Father, thank you. You've got the authority. When he says, I have the keys of David, he's reading Isaiah 22. Let's see Isaiah 22. Now, Isaiah wasn't talking about Jesus. He's talking about another king.
Are you following me?
He's not talking about Jesus there. Isaiah 22, quickly. Isaiah 22. Let's go to Jesus' life. Now, I will give you a background to that reading quickly. From verses, I'll take you back to verses 19. Yeah, that's in 2, let me see. Okay, verses 19. Okay, start from verse 17. It says, behold, the Lord, now they've done wrong. Now look at what it says. Now, it says the Lord will carry thee away with a mighty captivity and will surely cover thee. And he will surely violently turn and toss thee like a ball into a large country. There shall thou die, and thou and there the chariot of thy glory shall be the shame of thy Lord's house. And I will drive thee from thy station, and from thy state shall he put thee down. Now, what word now says in verse 20? And it shall come to pass in the day I will call my servants Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. Now, Eliakim is
later became a king, or was a king of Israel.
King of Israel, was a king of Israel. Later became a king. But look at what it says. It says, in the day, I will call my servant. Watch it. I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. Now, you find that he became king in 2 Kings, chapter 18, read the story very well, he became king there. Now, he said, I'll call him. Watch it. Now, the word Eliakim there is that Hebrew word that implies God will rise. That's what it means. God will rise. Eliakim, God will rise. Now it's
so the king was named in prophecy. Right? His name is a name in prophecy that God will be a man. God will rise. Amen. Now in a time of captivity, God is saying he will rise. Right? And how will he do it?
Through a king. So Jesus goes back. Now, I mean, Jesus reads that in Revelation. Right? He's saying, who's got that key?
He's not actually a king. You see that?
Amen. But in the right, in the scenario that Isaiah is talking about it, he's talking about it to the children of Israel concerning this king. Now look at what he says. He's not, he said, I will call my servant. Now, yes, how he describes him to know he's a king. He said, I will clothe him with a robe and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hand. Did you see that? And he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Now Eliakim was a king to Judah. Now it says, and the thieves, what is of the house of David, I will lay upon his shoulder. Now when you read the word thieves there, what would now say? So he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. Did you see that?
To Eliakim. Now he's saying he's going to give him the authority of David. Isn't that? That means this guy is royalty. He has authority. Isn't that? Amen. Isn't that? Okay, follow me.
So Jesus speaks that.
He's talking about authority.
Okay, follow me. So Jesus is saying he has that authority. Because
David in Israel, that name, David in Israel is authority. I told you about a little stuff that
see today they still believe it there. In the Israelite flag.
Okay, let me.
I see. But
actually the keys of David is not a logo. The keys of David is a form. Amen. Amen.
So it will be given to you.
The way history will happen, that key will be given to the king. That means the whole that is like a scepter, the whole thing. He has authority.
So what Moses, when Jesus says, I have the keys of David,
he's saying
that law that David spoke about, that will sit on his throne, is not man, he's not Solomon and Isaiah Elakim, but it's actually him. Did you see that? Amen. So he has the authority of David. Hallelujah. Oh, we'll explain that further on Saturday.
Amen. Perhaps
they
will have
a
longer time.
Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So Jesus said he has the keys.
He has the keys. He's got the keys. Hallelujah.
Jesus has the keys.
He has the authority of the whole world. He has the authority.
Oh, glory to God.
So the question is, where is the key with Jesus? Right?
Where is he?
Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. There's no
perfection
to see where the
keys
is.
Are you looking for it? Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Matthew 28. Verses 18. Let's see this too. Matthew 28. Woo! Glory to God! Glory to God! Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority,
it is a son, it is all authority, has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! All authority!
You know, that is what,
see, when Jesus is saying this, he's also reaffirming he is the Christ of Israel is out. Hallelujah.
Say, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He says, therefore, go ye therefore. Did you see that? And teach us.
So he tells them, because teach
us
the
Father,
Father.
Amen. No. What is the teacher of the Father? What is the Lord? I am with you.
What? I am what? With you. Collective, I'm with you. The God of Israel is with Israel. You see that? The God of Israel is with Israel. When I told you, Israel means to prevail with God. Right? Right? Amen. So the God of Israel is in Israel, prevailing together with God.
The God of Israel is with them.
So when he says, I'm with you, he therefore reaffirms his presence with them. He reaffirms, reassures them that he is the God of Israel. He will be found with them. So he says, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, it means that the authority is with the believer. Therefore, he says, go therefore. I make disciples. Say, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever for I know I am with you. Hallelujah. I'm with you. The authority is with me. I'm with you. It therefore means the believer has the authority. Hallelujah. Amen. The authority of Jesus has been given to us. Has been given to the church. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Has been given to the church. To us. I like to put it like this, sir, so us collectively. Amen? Amen? Us. Has he given to us? We have the authority of Jesus. Amen?
I just say, I have the authority of Jesus. Those of you who can change and switch your words.
We have the authority of Jesus.
I just say we are the authority of Jesus. So we have it.
Hallelujah. We have that authority. Look at Matthew 16 before now. Matthew 16, Jesus speaking to Peter. Look at what he says to Peter. Matthew 16, 18.
Follow me now.
Hallelujah. Never get afraid. Never. The believer shouldn't be afraid. Never.
Nobody
thinks
that you are scared.
Never allow it.
God authority.
Amen. Amen.
I share this.
We have that authority. Glory to God.
I was afraid. I was afraid, man. Because imagine I was trying to wear my clothes. I just paused. Like, I freeze.
I was watching. Well, when you did that, check it. Sit on that. Like, is it paying me? I said, I can't share all my
goodness,
it's nice
person.
Just go.
At that age!
But you know, you can't tell them, you know, you shouldn't even stop them.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Just normal for you know, learning to even what we say, is it not just for?
No, it's not just for.
Amen. 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 Glory to God. The believer's authority. The believer's authority. Hallelujah. The believer's authority.
Yep.
So what is your authority for?
Now let's look at this. I told us to put on Matthew 16, right? Verse 18. Okay. Is it? He said, I said to thee, thou art Peter, upon this rock I build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail. He said, I'll give unto thee the keys. Can we change it to authority? Is that authority? The authority of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
So the authority is in the church.
So what is it for?
What is it for? Hallelujah. We find
shutting and opening. We find binding and loosing.
Right? Hallelujah. Binding and loosing, shutting and opening. We'll dwell on this on Saturday too.
Hallelujah. Because of time. That happened here. Hallelujah. But one thing you must know is the fact that
the authority of Jesus,
binding and loosing, shutting and opening, is for establishing his land or his people in all the earth. The authority of Jesus is first for his act, will, or put it like this, his plan
purpose and pursuits in all the earth. Hallelujah.
Amen. And what is this land? A piece of territory. You see that?
Amen. A people.
A territory. A family. Doing it is God.
A family. A people. A territory.
That is plan. Hallelujah. We give you that man. We are going for evangelism.
We are going out to reach your city.
We are going without a fault. Hallelujah. We are going without a fault.
Everything responds.
Everything responds. You need to seek. Seek that to respond. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Everything responds to that name. Everything. 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 That's the greatest name in the whole world. Hallelujah. Everything responds to that name. You know, you need to have this mindset.
There were disciples in Luke 10. There was a God to preach. Jesus said, he gave, you know,
he sent them out.
Now he gave them what is called delegated authority.
Delegated authority. I love how
Papa Hebe will put it. They gave them delegated authority. They got delegated. That is,
they don't, at that point they didn't have full, total control, access, whatever to the name.
But he gave them delegated. But they went with the name either way.
And they preached. Do you see that? These are things we're going to investigate. He gave them that authority in the preaching of the gospel.
Do you see that? We're going to investigate that. It's happening. Like I said,
in the preaching of the gospel, he gave them his name.
What? He gave them his name in the preaching of the gospel. And he told them to heal the sick.
You see that? On the way.
And then he tread upon snakes and scorpions on the way.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he came out rejoiced. And Jesus said, yeah, I gave you the name. To tread upon snakes and scorpions, and nothing shall by enemies hurt you.
Hearts, nothing about anything possible. Glory to God, you'll meet the work of the devil on the way. Then I told you this teaching is to prepare us for some, that we'll get into some outreaches in the coming days, right? Coming days might be coming years, but in the coming days. But you know, I said when you get to a place and say certain kind of disease, Satan is there.
Hallelujah. Everybody's just blind. Some of you just have deaf people around. Just get to the place that since 6 people are dead. Hallelujah, but you have authority. Hallelujah. You have authority. You have authority. Hallelujah. Say nothing. Say you will spoil the works of the enemy.
Hallelujah. You will spoil it. Wow. So you have authority in the name.
You have the authority in the name.
You spoil the works of the enemy. Glory to God. And nothing. Nothing shall be enemy's fault.
Nothing. Nothing. Hallelujah. 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 So one time told me, be careful of how you lay hands. You can lay hands and contact. I said, no. Jesus said, nothing shall by any means.
Nothing. I'm not there. I can't catch anything. Nothing shall by any means.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say this to say this. As we close and go. Nothing should ever make you feel inferior in that name, into the usage of that name. Hope you're hearing me. Nothing should ever make you inferior.
Both things you don't,
and that is wrong, even though they are wrong. Nothing should ever make you feel inferior. Hallelujah. You know, that was so strong in my heart when I was coming to church. I don't know who that is for.
It doesn't matter what has happened. Hallelujah. You're not inferior to that name. You're not inferior in the family. We don't have any inferior member in the family of Jesus. Okay, enemy. You are all qualified children. Satan should never allow you to get inferior. Doesn't matter.
Hallelujah. You'll be fine. Amen. You'll be fine. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. You are as qualified as anybody to use that name. Amen. Don't want to go and lay hands on the sick and say, your mind has been able to like it. This is the end. You can lay hands. Amen. They are qualified to use that name. They are qualified.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. To tell that demon to leave. the heat. So old guys here,
me and my friend. I just lay hands on someone. So the person, an elderly person, when he saw that, he now later called me. I was not trying to admonish me. Now I said, no, next time when you lay hands like that, make sure you call the name of Jesus, so that you are sure the thing will happen.
Amen.
I shall be. Because, you
know. I'll let someone like that. I'll let that be good.
I don't want that demon went to sleep. Demon on the side of authority.
You know
when
you say you know your authority, you're coming.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. I remember then trying to preach something just to make people understand what I was doing then, but I don't think I'll do that anymore. Amen. But, yeah, I don't even get
it. It's the name of Jesus. And it's not wrong. It's like Baba. In Baba, we spoke about the name of charity. Amen.
So the name is given to everyone that is in the territory. Hallelujah. That is how we get to see it on Saturday. It's given to everyone in the territory.
So the name of Jesus is a territorial name. Hallelujah! Is a territorial name.
It's in our territory. We have a territorial name, Jesus.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
We have that name. We have that name. And we are making progress with the gospel of Jesus around the nations of the world. You know this message will cause a stirring in our hearts much more in the coming days. Stirring much more for evangelism. Raising men in their numbers. It's not just a message that you listen to and then it's not a feel good time message. It's a message that will stir evangelism in your heart.
Stir the will of the Father in our hearts much more. As it's been stirred up right now, in the name of Jesus.
It will stir up as many that will listen to this message beyond today. It will be stirred up in their hearts. Stirred up so much that it will cause an uprising. Not just in them, also those that are connected to them will catch that fire. That fire, that body. And we yet see that fire again on Saturday. We yet see it on Saturday as we round up.
We yet see that fire again. We yet see it. And our world will be lit yet for the gospel.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's thank you. Let's thank you. Let's thank you.